Well, well, well. Let's all stand up and give Emma a big hand as she comes up here. Please come on, let's stand up, give her a big hand. Stomp your feet, shout, wiggle about. Thank you, Pastor Emma.
Thank you, Pastor Charlie. You're very kind, very generous. Wow, it's so good to see all of you here. It's so good. What a happy time of year it is. Almost there at Christmas time. I don't know about you, but I always it really does right up until the last minute. There's always something to do, but we get there in the end and we have a wonderful time together. And it's just so lovely to see so many family here this morning. I love seeing Bree's parents here. Thank you for being with us. I know she's so overjoyed to have you with her at this time of year, and I've got family here as well. It's Lisa's mum's here. It's just so great to have people with us. We talk about God with us, and it's so good to have people with us. And I love how this church comes around people and comes alongside people who may not have people to spend Christmas with. And so if that's you, let me know, tell me, because we will do something about that. We're a church who has people who will welcome you into their homes and enjoy your company and celebrate Christmas with you. So please let me know. We don't want anybody being by themselves at this time of year. We want people with one another. Okay. So this morning I'm bringing you a message called God with Us. God with Us. And at Christmas time, how we celebrate the birth of Jesus, the birth of our Saviour, that He was fully God, and He came to earth fully man and was born in a stable, in a manger, to be our Saviour. And so I want to take you through a journey of how Father God planned for Jesus, how Christ was predicted. And it is Him that we proclaim to you. It's Christ that we preach this morning. It's Christ that I want to tell you about this morning. That Jesus was planned, Jesus was predicted, He's to be proclaimed. And, you know, talking about this time of year, we make so many plans, don't we? We make so many plans to get gifts or have food or what are we going to eat on Christmas Day? And we're making plans all the time. Well, let me tell you that before the world began, God had it in mind that Jesus would be here with us. That He would be our Saviour, that He would be Christ revealed to us, God revealed to us through Christ. It's an incredible word that we have. You know, I'm getting more and more acquainted with the original languages of Hebrew and Greek and the meanings behind the Word of God. And let me tell you that not a dot, not a letter, not anything is out of place. This is a perfect living word of God that brings revelation of Jesus Christ to us as our Saviour. And I want to take you to the plan of God for Jesus to be with us, where we read in the first book in Genesis 3:15. Now we know that God created Adam and Eve. We know that God created Adam, the first man, and Eve, the first woman, and to be enjoying the creation that God had given us, the beautiful garden, the beautiful animals, everything that God created for Adam and Eve and for them to be in relationship with Him, to be in a perfect relationship of love with God. And then we come to a place where Adam sins, where Eve sins, and they blame one another for taking of the fruit and eating of the fruit of knowledge of good and evil, and they hide. In that space, that was where Adam and Eve had sinned, and they'd had that experience, that separation from God as Father, and so they hid from Him. And God asks, "Where are you? Where are you, Adam? Where are you, Eve?" He knew where they were. What happened? Tell me what happened. And so we come to Genesis 3:15. Where God is speaking to the serpent, He is speaking to the enemy, He's speaking to Satan. And He says, "I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel." Now let me explain this incredible verse, this incredible scripture to you, where God speaks to Satan, speaks to the enemy, and says, "I will put hostility between you and the woman, between your seed and her seed." Now this is talking about how God planned for Jesus. This is the first scripture of God's plan for Christ to be our Savior. "He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel." He shall bruise your head, is talking about Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ will bruise Satan's head. This word bruise means to crush, means to kill. You see, Jesus would defeat the enemy once and for all. He would bruise Satan's head. And where it says that you shall bruise his heel, this is talking about Satan bruising Jesus when Jesus came to the cross and the crucifixion. Satan may have thought that he would have won that day, that day that Jesus died on the cross, where he bruised his heel, but we know that Jesus was resurrected, that on the third day he was resurrected and he sits at the right hand of the Father. And so we see the first mention of God's plan right at the very beginning. Before the world began, God planned for Jesus. God planned for his birth, his death, his resurrection, his plan of salvation for every single person that he created. God's response to Adam and Eve's sin was one of a plan to redeem, to reconcile humankind to him, so that we could have that right relationship with God again. God's response to our sin is one of love, not judgment or condemnation, but one of love. What an incredible plan, and what an incredible God we have, that we know that he is a God of incredible love, that he planned Jesus from before the creation of the world. We see in 1 Peter 1, verses 19 to 20, that it was the precious blood of Christ, the sinless, spotless Lamb of God. God chose him as your ransom long before the world began, but now in these last days he has been revealed for your sake. It was the precious blood of Christ where we have our salvation, where we can come to him and receive the gift of God, receive the gift of Jesus Christ. So Jesus was planned. God had the plan in mind from before the world began, that he would be born at this time. And that he predicted Jesus throughout the whole scripture. We see hundreds of prophecies, hundreds of predictions of Christ coming. Hundreds, over 300. And I know when people have actually researched this and have come up with these statistics where one person fulfilling just 8 prophecies or 8 predictions, the statistics are 1 in a trillion to actually have that happen. So that's just with one person fulfilling 8 prophecies. So as the prophecies increase, as the number of prophecies increase or the number of predictions increase, the odds just get larger and larger and larger. So one person fulfilling 8 prophecies is 1 in a trillion. One person fulfilling 48 prophecies, there's a chance in 10 to the 157th power. I mean, I can't even imagine what that number would be. So only Jesus could fulfill over 300 predictions and prophecies. Incredible word of God. And the predictions that we find in his word. There are too many prophecies to talk about today. As I mentioned, there's over 300. And that first one in Genesis 3:15 is of God's plan for Christ and what he would do. But I just want to bring a couple of other prophecies to mind to you, where we see in Zechariah 9 verse 9 where there's a prophecy of Jesus arriving on a donkey. So God is so specific. He is so specific in how everything would take place. Only God knew how things would occur. And so we see in Zechariah 9 verse 9, it says, "Rejoice, O people of Zion, shout in triumph, O people of Jerusalem, look, your king is coming to you. He is righteous and victorious, yet he is humble, riding on a donkey's colt. This is a prophecy about Jesus coming and riding on a donkey as he came into Jerusalem. And so we read about that prophecy being fulfilled in Matthew and the other Gospels as well, in Luke 19 and John 12. And so in Matthew 21, verses 1 to 5, this is the prophecy being fulfilled. As Jesus and the disciples approached Jerusalem, they came to the town of Bethpage on the Mount of Olives. Jesus sent two of them on ahead. "Go into the village over there," he said. "As soon as you enter it, you will see a donkey tied there with its colt beside it. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone asks what you are doing, just say, 'The Lord needs them,' and he will immediately let you take them." This took place to fulfill the prophecy that said, "Tell the people of Jerusalem, look, your king is coming to you. He is humble, riding on a donkey's colt. And we see how the gospel refers to the Old Testament scripture in Zechariah, and the Old Testament scripture refers to the prophecy that Jesus just fulfilled. Hundreds of these passages of scripture like this that we can find in the Word of God. Another one, Psalm 16, verses 8 to 11. "I know the Lord is always with me. I will not be shaken, for he is right beside me. No wonder my heart is glad and I rejoice. My body rests in safety, for you will not leave my soul among the dead or allow your Holy One to rot in the grave. You will show me the way of life, granting me the joy of your presence and the pleasures of living with you forever." So this passage of scripture we see mentioned again in Acts 2, verses 25 to 28. Referring to this scripture in Psalms. King David said this about him: "I see that the Lord is always with me. I will not be shaken, for he is right beside me. No wonder my heart is glad and my tongue shouts his praises. My body rests in hope, for you will not leave my soul among the dead or allow your Holy One to rot in the grave. You have shown me the way of life and you will fill me with the joy of your presence." The Apostle Paul writes this passage of scripture and then goes on to describe how these verses are speaking prophetically of the future of Jesus' resurrection, that God planned for Jesus to be both Lord and Messiah. You see, Jesus, we're celebrating the birth of Jesus, but he is the fulfillment of scripture. He is the Word. He is the light. He is the way. He is the truth. And he is the life. And the whole message of Christmas is wrapped up in him. God's greatest gift, who came as a baby, who came as a human being with one powerful purpose: to save us from eternal death without God and to give us eternal life with him. And so I want to draw you to this next prophecy that talks about God with us, God Emmanuel, in Isaiah 7:14. "All right then, the Lord himself will give you the sign. Look, the virgin will conceive a child. She will give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel," which means God with us. And so this prophecy is fulfilled in the Gospels in Matthew 1:23. "Look, the virgin will conceive a child. She will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God is with us. We see that Isaiah foretold of Jesus' birth, a specific description of Jesus being born through a virgin, being conceived by the Holy Spirit, and an angel appearing to Joseph to affirm his fears and to affirm that that this is God's will. And the angel quotes that scripture in Isaiah to Joseph. This is what's going to happen. The angel spoke to Joseph in a dream and told Joseph, it's okay. You don't need to be ashamed that your fiancé is pregnant, that this child has been conceived through the Holy Spirit, that yes, your fiancé is still a virgin, and so don't break off the engagement. Stay engaged to her and know that she is going to have a son called Jesus, which means God with us. God with us. There are hundreds of scriptures that say that God is with you. There are so many passages of scripture that says, don't be afraid, don't be discouraged. I am with you. The Lord is with you. As Pastor Charlie was saying before, God is with us. He is always with us. He is here right now. God is with you. God is with us. God Emmanuel. You know, names and meanings are so significant in the Word of God. Jesus was named Jesus because his name means to deliver. His name means to rescue, to save. God rescues. Jesus Christ. Christ means anointed one. And it's the Greek word for the Hebrew word Messiah. You see, we find so much understanding of what Jesus Christ came to do in understanding the meaning of his name. He was named for a particular reason, so that you would know that he is your Redeemer, he is your Savior, he is your Deliverer. He has come to rescue you. I had coffee with a friend from the Wellard campus a few days ago, and she shared a story with me that actually occurred probably about 20 years ago. And do you know, then, when we are talking about scripture with one another, when we're talking about God and about his love with one another, that, you know, Holy Spirit moves and we learn from one another, and it's such a beautiful interaction that we can have as we do that with each other. And so she told me the story, and it's such an incredible story that gives a glimpse, that gives us a small understanding of just the depth of God's love that he has for you through this human story of a father and his son. And it occurred in Armenia, and it was a father who would take his son to school but often not pick him up in time or be late. And on this one particular day, the son said to his father, the son's name was Aman, and he says to his father, Dad, can you please promise me that you will not be late today? Can you please promise me that you will come and pick me up, that you won't be late, that you won't forget? And the dad says, yes, of course, I promise you that. I promise you that. So the father goes to work. The son is at school. And during the day, there was an earthquake. Where the father was working, there was definitely things shaken, but nothing that fell down or damaged. But at his son's school, the whole school was destroyed. The whole school was damaged. And so the father goes to the school and he sees that it's just a pile of rubble, just a massive pile of rubble. And other parents are there and they're crying and they're wailing and they're thinking all their children have died. But this father climbs to the top of the rubble and starts digging and starts taking the bricks off, starts taking the rubble off. And the rescue people say, you shouldn't go there, it's too dangerous. The father keeps going. He is digging for hours and hours, 8 hours, 12 hours, 16 hours, still digging, still taking the rubble away. He knew that whereabouts the classroom was where his son would have been, and so he knew that that was the place where he would start digging. After 36 hours, he picks a piece of rubble away and there's a hole, and he calls down into the hole and calls out to his son, Aman, Aman. And the little voice calls back, that, Dad, I'm here, I'm okay. And there were 13 other kids with him. And his father said, I want to get you out. And he says, Dad, my friends are here. So we need to help all my friends come out. And the little boy has said to his friends, don't worry. I know my dad is coming for me. I know my dad is going to come and rescue us because he promised that he would do that today. I know my dad's going to come. We don't need to worry. It's just like our Father God and his plan for Jesus to rescue us. To trust that he loves us so much that he would plan for Jesus to be with us. And that all we need to do is trust him, and that all we need to do is come to him and cry out to him and say, yeah, I need you. I need you, Father God. And so we come to Jesus, which is who we proclaim. You know, proclaim means to declare publicly, to be proud of, to just cry out about, to actually announce, you know, whether we're saying it in our speech or whether we're writing it down. It means to declare. And Jesus is who we proclaim. It's who we declare to you today. Let me read you a couple of passages of scripture before we close. One in Colossians 1, verses 15 to 20. To give you a better idea of who this Jesus Christ is. Christ is the visible image of the invisible God. He existed before anything was created and is supreme over all creation. For through him God created everything in the heavenly realms and on earth. He made the things we can see and the things we can't see, such as thrones, kingdoms, rulers, and authorities in the unseen world. Everything was created through him and for him. He existed before anything else, and he holds all creation together. Christ is also the head of the church, which is his body. He is the beginning, supreme over all who rise from the dead. So he is first in everything. For God in all his fullness was pleased to live in Christ, and through him God reconciled everything to himself. He made peace with everything in heaven and on earth by means of Christ's blood on the cross. Christ, the visible image of the invisible God. Before the world began, he was with us. He made peace with everything in heaven and on earth by his blood. We know that Jesus as a baby didn't stay as a baby, and he grew and became a man. And he called 12 people to follow him. He called 12 disciples to follow him. And there were three people that followed him, John, James, and Peter, who John was the closest to Jesus. John was the closest to Jesus. He knew him personally. He saw him in the flesh. He journeyed with him and saw him teaching and ministering and using the word of God and healing people and doing miracles. John was the closest to Jesus. He saw so much. He was there when Jesus raised Jairus' daughter from the dead. He was there with Jesus when Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane, when Jesus was going through the agony of facing the reality that he would actually have to die this incredible, awful death. John was with him. John was with him when Jesus was on the cross. John was there. John, James, and Peter were with Jesus when he went through the transfiguration. Let me tell you about this transfiguration. Jesus took the three of them up to the top of the mountain. And when they were at the top of the mountain, Jesus was spectacularly transformed. His face shone like the sun. His clothing was dazzling white, brighter than anyone could bleach it. He spoke. John and James and Peter saw Jesus speaking with Moses and Elijah about his crucifixion, resurrection, and ascension into Jerusalem. And a bright cloud enveloped all of them, and from it a voice said, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." That's a father's voice speaking to his son. John and James and Peter saw this. They saw Jesus in his true form. They were so scared. They were paralyzed with fear. And when they looked up, they saw Jesus returned to the man that they knew. I'm telling you about John. I'm telling you about his relationship with Jesus, with the earthly Jesus, with God made flesh. Because he wrote 5 books in the Word of God. And when you read his books, the book of John, 1 John 2, John 3, John Revelation, we see that John speaks about love. It's the main theme that flows throughout these books about love and Christ. And so we read in 1 John 1, verses 1 to 3, proclaiming, "We proclaim to you the one who existed from the beginning, whom we have seen and heard. We saw him with our own eyes and touched him with our own hands. He is the word of life. This one who was life itself was revealed to us, and we have seen him." They did see him. "And now we testify and proclaim to you that he is the one who is eternal life. He was with the Father, and then he was revealed to us. We proclaim to you what we ourselves have actually seen and heard, so that you may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ." I'd love the worship team to come up, please, as we come to a close. This word fellowship, comes from the Greek word koinonia, which means to have communion, an intimate, personal relationship. John is proclaiming Christ Jesus so that we would believe in him, that we would know him, that we would have communion with him, that we would have a personal relationship with him, an intimate relationship with him, which is the reason why he first created Adam and Eve in the first place, was to have a relationship with the God of love, with Father God. He planned Jesus before the world began to be our Saviour and our Redeemer and our Deliverer and our Rescuer, because he knew we would disobey. He knew we would get it wrong. And that's why the blood of Christ is so powerful and so profound. That's why John proclaims Jesus. That's why he cries out, and he wants you to know him too. He wants you to have fellowship with the living God. I'd love everyone to stand. This Christmas, we celebrate Christ coming in the human form. God himself sent his Son to be with us, God Emmanuel. We see through his word that Jesus Christ was planned, that he was predicted. Everything points to Jesus Christ, everything. Because God wants you to know him, to have fellowship with him. He wants every single person not to perish without coming to him and calling upon the name of the Lord. His word says that I don't want anyone to not know me. I want everybody to be reconciled back to me through the blood of Christ, through Jesus' sacrifice for you, the sinless, spotless Lamb, the perfect sacrifice, that you could come to Him. That's the love of God. In John 3:16, the word says, "For God so loved the world that He sent His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him will not perish but have eternal life, have everlasting life." And so with every eye closed and every head bowed, let this Christmas time be a time where you say yes, where you say, "God, I need you. God, I'm so thankful for the cross. I'm so thankful for the blood of Christ. I'm so thankful for this plan that you had. I'm so thankful for the perfect word of God that lives and breathes and brings life and truth to me. I'm so thankful that all I need to do is believe in the Son of God, to believe in Jesus and to call upon His name, and I will receive God. I will be rescued. I will be delivered. I will be redeemed, and I will have everlasting life with you." So with every head bowed and every eyes closed, this is between you and the Lord. These words are not my words. These words are from the Word of God. And so for those people who have said, "Yes, I believe you, Jesus. I want to follow you like John and James and Peter did. I want to see the living God like John did. I want to have eternity with you in heaven and not perish in hell." For those people who need to call upon the name of the Lord today, proclaim that today. Make that public. The Word of God talks about making that decision a public decision. And so just raise your hand, put it up, and I'll see it. You will put it down again. Don't delay. Don't hesitate. Make this Christmas such a significant Christmas. Thank you. I see that hand. For those people who have known the Lord but have just been walking away and doing their own thing, make this time a time where you come back to Him. God rejoices in those who come back to Him, those who come back to fellowship with Him. And so for those people who need to say, "I need to do that today," please put your hand up. Thank you. I see that hand. You can put it down there. Who else needs to do that today? Thank you. I see that hand. You can put it down again. Thank you. I see that hand. You can put it down again. Thank you, Father God. In a moment, I'm going to ask those people who put their hands up to come forward. I want to pray with each of you. We are going to sing a praise song as we come to a close. But those people who raise their hands, please come forward now. We have a team to pray with you. I want to pray with you. Come forward now as we sing one last song before we have morning tea together. Let the people come. I'm just going to pray over each people here. Father God, we thank you for your Son Jesus. We celebrate His birth. We celebrate His death, and we celebrate His resurrection. And we thank you that He was planned. He was foretold. And it's Him that we proclaim today. Father God, I pray for your blessing over every single person within this building, every single person in this auditorium, Lord God. I pray for your blessing upon them, your hand of blessing upon them, that your face shines upon them. And I pray that you will keep each person safe, Father God, over this Christmas season. Father God, I pray that they would have an incredible, intimate time with you and with your word over this season. As you speak to each person, as you relate to each person through the word of God. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, let's stand and sing, and I'll pray for these people.